Good afternoon, and welcome to Our Recourse, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God, hosted by Brian Gale. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God, and as our beloved Church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. So sit back for the next hour and enjoy Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Brian Gale. And this is Our Recourse. It's a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God, and as our beloved Church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. We have a terrific guest today, and I mean really terrific. Larry, are you on? Larry?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got disconnected briefly.
All right, not a problem. Let me introduce you properly. As I say, we have a terrific guest today, and I mean terrific. His name is Larry Miggs, and although his name might not be familiar to you, the name of his company surely is. Larry is the founder and the CEO of Visiting Angels, America's leading home care company that's actually headquartered right here in the Philadelphia region. But he's not here to talk about business, and he's made that clear to me, so we won't. Larry happens to be one of Philadelphia's most, I'm going to say, active lay people, ministering to our teens, to our disabled, even those facing imprisonment. But because all of this is done very quietly and behind the scenes, very few know anything about his works of mercy. And he's not here to talk about that either, although maybe we can coax him into sharing a story or two about his works and this Jubilee Year of Mercy. What Larry is here to talk about is mood disorder, also known very generically as chemical or emotional imbalance, which, as you will quickly see, distinguishes him as a man with an unusual degree of humility and courage. It's a condition he's lived with, worked with, and served many others with for a lot of years. And he's done all this while being a full-time husband to Gina, and the father of two adopted sons. In short, we're really just about ready to talk to one of the truly special souls in this region, in this archdiocese, and he's a longtime friend of mine. Larry, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
Larry, many of our listeners carry crosses, and they turn to this show, they turn to many devotional practices, they turn to Our Lady, and they turn to others for help in carrying those crosses. A lot of times the crosses are just so darn heavy that they debilitate us. We're just not able to rise up and get the cross on the shoulder and continue forward. Occasionally, we run into people who have very heavy crosses, and although they go down, they sometimes struggle, but they always seem to manage to get up and keep going and keep carrying their cross. And I always looked at you that way, and I always thought it would be really inspirational for a lot of people if they knew your story. And I am very, very grateful for you making time to share it with our listeners. So if I could, let me just begin with... Why don't you tell our folks about the emotional imbalance, the chemical disorder that has plagued you for so many years?
Okay, I'd be glad to do that. Try to be brief about it. You're describing it as mood disorder. you're catching me on a day when I'm very joyful. So that's the other side of our moods, right? And we can be joyful. We can be joyful even in the midst of our suffering. That's one of the things that God promises us in His Word. But it's not always something that we can grasp as readily as we'd like to. In my case, I've grappled with anxiety disorder, OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, and depression, off and on over a period of years, starting in my 20s. And right after I got out of college, I kind of sailed through my youth and sailed through secondary school, college, not thinking I'd ever have any challenges at all. And I guess maybe when I had to kind of phase adulthood out on my own, that's when I began dealing with some anxiety, which became crippling for me, kind of quickly moved into what's described as an agoraphobic state, agoraphobic condition, which is where you're kind of afraid of and feel unable to cope with virtually anything. There's people in agoraphobic states who, in order to avoid feared situations, they stay home. There's people who've been at home for 30 years for whom it's a challenge. They might occasionally try to venture out to go to church or to go maybe even to work. Many of them never work for years on end. And they're, in some cases, successful in avoiding or minimizing that anxiety and panic disorder by staying home. I didn't have that luxury. I would say there's been three or four times in my life where I entered what I would call an agoraphobic condition, where I was just really afraid of almost every circumstance that you could think of. But the difference in my case was I was afraid at times to leave home, but I was also afraid to stay home.
Wow.
And so it's kind of being between a rock and a hard place, which actually for me turned out to be a good thing, because if you're afraid to leave home, also afraid to stay home, it means you're going to be forced out of your nest, and you're going to have to go out and face the world and deal with circumstances, go to work, and do things which cause you to face up to your circumstances. And that's really key, especially in anxiety disorders, is not to fall into a pattern of avoidance, which is something that we kind of naturally get inclined towards. We want to avoid difficult situations. But you can't go around these conditions. You can't just avoid your way out of them. You have to go through them. And in the midst of this, there's when one has been anxious for months, in some cases even years on end, depression sets in, which is a very volatile combination. And you mentioned body and brain chemistry. You have adrenaline, which is kind of going wild in your body, a release of a hormone called cortisol, which creates this fight or flight type response in our bodies. It's actually a natural, a healthy thing to have available to us, because we want to be afraid in a healthy sense in those circumstances in life where we really should be afraid. You know, if And in that moment, a certain calm came over me. It wasn't something that lasted. I was still fighting this anxiety, and the next day I had to go out and face it again. But it was a message that, as I reflect on it now, going backward in time, a message that was so important for dealing with this type of thing, and even with depression, because I've, you know, there's been times where the dominant faith and unfaith. I know a lot of times we can question ourselves, do I really have the Holy Spirit? Maybe I don't act like I have the Holy Spirit. Maybe I don't feel like the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. But this, again, where we don't want to fall into that trap of letting our feelings dominate us, or even our negative thoughts. We have to be very careful about our thinking. Very careful about our thinking, and just accepting of our feelings, and not deciding, making decisions based on our feelings. But we have to rely on facts. And one fact is that since we have the Holy Spirit, that means we have freedom. And God's going to make that a freedom available to us. We just have to never lose sight of the fact that it really is there. Now, if we get a little more micro about it, and we want to look at some other promises, one of a really powerful promise for anyone who's struggling with anxiety, depression, OCD, any mental illness, one that I've read over and over again countless times, is 1 Peter 5:10. And that says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you.
Wow.
That's one we have to really hang on and stick with.
Why don't you repeat
First
that?
First of all, it's not just how he's going to deliver us from our circumstances. That's an important powerful promise by itself. But I love when it says, he has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. That's the first promise to hang on. That's ultimately where we're going to be. That's going to be our home. But for now, he's going to himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. That's 1 Peter 5:10. Another one I love is 2 Corinthians 2:4. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. I think back on so many bouts that I've had, and bouts I know that you've had, Brian. You've struggled so much over the years. But you're always back in the saddle, out there sword fighting again, regardless of everything that you've gone through. And I just by looking at you and seeing how you live your life every day, you don't live your life in defeat. You live your life in triumph. You live your life in God's victory. And so I see how God brings all of us, especially you, back to triumph, how he always leads us in triumph. And it's for his purpose, so that through us, he can spread in every place
Not yet. I just have to comment, Larry. In my journey, every person that is involved in giving to others on a scale that's larger than most is constantly being purified with cross after cross after cross. I was in the advertising business and had occasion to meet Mother Angelica and help her get started back in 81. And I marveled at the constant barrage of crosses that she got hit with and had to carry, you know, on top of her paralysis and, you know, all the rest of it, of her leg, and couldn't move and had so many physical problems, but the emotional problems, the financial problems, the battles she had with the bishops, if I can say it, and so many other adversaries. And yet, through it all, she believed, as you believed, she had recourse to Scripture, to the devotions, particularly to Our Lady. And I have seen this again and again and again in people who are being asked, who are given much and being asked to share much. They're constantly being given heavier crosses. And as a consequence, there seem to be, by turning to our Lord and turning in prayer and sacraments, they seem to be being drawn ever more intimately and closely to Him and His Sacred Heart. And it just, I just marvel when I hear what you have to say, because I have a little bit of an idea of what it takes to run a company. But to start a company and run a company the size of Visiting Angels, and to have all those franchisees and all those employees and all those problems, and to be able to function enough through the grace, the therapy, the work, the other things that you do, to be able to lead people, create jobs, share wealth, give back quietly behind the scenes to so many good causes, and to carry this cross and not be relieved of it is an astonishing thing to me, despite what I'm saying. When I get up close to it and I see it, I'm just in awe of it. I'm in awe of God and what He asks of man and what He gives man. He's like a tough coach, tough teacher, tough leader. He is always demanding more, and He's always willing to partner with you so you can achieve more in His name and give glory to His Father in His name. I'm getting a signal that we have to break, and I want to come back. There's so many questions I have. If any listeners, incidentally, have questions for Larry, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. This show today with Larry Miggs is being brought to you by the Law Office of Christian Petrucci, a dear friend of both of ours, by the way. And let me say right up front that he is a fellow Regina Academy board member, which we have been. He's a wonderful husband and father of six children. He does an awful lot of good for a lot of people. His law practice is focused on workers' comp, as they call it, workers' compensation cases. And he has a very unique approach to his work, and I asked him about it recently, and he said, you know, when someone walks through my door with a work-related injury, I immediately put myself in their shoes. And he said, it's not hard for me, because I've got a large family, and I've been out of work, and I've struggled with some of these problems, and I can relate to their anxiety, and I can relate to not knowing what to do and why they come to me. They ask, should they keep working through the pain? What if they can't? And by the way, in Pennsylvania, you only get 20 days to decide, he told me. So do they dare risk filing a claim and having their employer or their employer's insurance company reject the claim? And if that happens, then what do they do? How do they get justice? How do they protect their families when they can't work and don't have the expertise or the financial means to take on an insurance company's attorneys? And he said, and when that happens to their family, when and if they do, what happens to them? Very often these cases can take up to 1 or 2 years, he said, to be resolved, and if they're not settled quickly and fairly, which I always try to do, they just hang on and grind people down. And I asked Christian Petrucci who his clients were, and he said, mostly they're nurses who get injured lifting much heavier patients, or they're construction workers or other blue-collar workers that are injured on the job, or they're EMT drivers, they're teachers injured in the line of work, coaches, etc. Just good people trying to do their jobs best they can, he said, who happen to catch a bad break and who need help. I asked him what the most satisfying aspect of his work was, and he said, just helping these good people think through their options, being there for them day and night, and helping them make good choices. So I asked him if he advertises his legal service, and he said, no, I don't. But I do think, and I have thought, that if I ever was going to advertise, it would be on In His Sign Network, he said, because their listeners are the kind of people I would like to help. So to all of you who know of people who have been injured at work, on the job, and who need good, honest, competent legal representation, I'm going to ask you to call the Law Offices of Christian Petrucci, our sponsor for our recourse. And the phone number is 610-747-0440. That's 610-747-0440. The Law Offices of Christian Petrucci, a terrific guy and a great attorney. And I urge you and ask you, please, to consider him.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Okay, we're back with Larry Miggs. This is our recourse on In His Sign Network. I'm Brian Gale. It is a live show. So we can take your calls, those of you who suffer from emotional illness of any kind. The number here is 610-527-2906 if you have a question for Larry. Larry, we talked on the break a little bit about the lie, the big lie, what the old boy is constantly telling us in our thoughts, and how that over time can grind us down. What would you tell our folks about what to do when that voice is incessant in their ear?
Well, I think the best counter to lies certainly would be truth, and that truth is found in the Word of God. First of all, you just want to cast off any thinking that you're stuck, any thinking that that you can't be free, that you have to live in depression the rest of your life, that you have to live in anxiety or panic the rest of your life. You have to just cast that off. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but you know, the best medicine, I mean, there's actual pharmacological medicine that you can take that may be somewhat helpful, maybe in some case for some people extremely helpful, but and I've taken medicine off and on, but I believe that the best medicine is the Word of God. Because, you know, over so many years where I had relapses and I had difficult periods, and, you know, of course, I prayed many times for God to just take, you know, take my suffering away, just in the blink of an eye, you know, make it go away, had enough, please help me, and so forth. But he chose, and of course, he did help me in so many ways every day. But you know, he didn't move as fast in many instances as I would like him to have done. And I realize now that that was for a reason. You know, he had his purposes for me. And one was he wanted me to become acquainted with his promises in Scripture. And the way to become acquainted with those promises is to meditate on them. You know, the Psalms talk about meditating on the law of the Lord. Night and day. I don't want to claim I'm doing that all day, every day, but I'm doing it off and on enough to have really received so much of this Scripture deep in my heart. And that was necessary medicine for me. You know, I didn't do this because I was better than anybody else or that I was more deserving of anything than anybody else. I did this for survival. You know, I began meditating on these Scripture verses, and I've quoted some of them to you. Here's another very powerful one I'll share, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. You know, here's God saying, God is promising that he will strengthen us, that we don't have to strengthen us in our own in our own power, that he's going to strengthen us. There's so many Psalms that talk about God strengthening your heart. So many times he talks about strengthening us. Even Jesus was strengthened when he was fasting in the wilderness. He was strengthened in the Garden of Gethsemane when an angel came to minister to him. Even Jesus was provided that grace, those graces by the Father. So if he needed them, certainly we need them as well. And those promises are available to us, and we need to meditate those repetitively until we know them, and that they come forth in our hearts and our minds in opposition to the lies of the enemy. The lies of the enemy are always available to us, but God feeds our hearts and feeds our minds with these promises. I carry them around. I have little cards, little promise cards that I put these scriptures on, and I always have some of them with me. And you know, as people are, you know, mentioning certain challenges they have, that they face in their lives, I give the little cards out, and people can keep them. And read these promises for themselves. And I really think that it was getting to know those promises that over a period of time brought me out of the darkness that I experienced, got me to where I could gain mastery over it faster and faster, one situation after another. You know, this is not something that's completely cleared up from every day. You know, I'm tempted to fall into kind of similar patterns of funky thinking. Difference is now I recognize them, I can see them coming, and I can head them off at the pass, especially with the Word of God. available to me. And so I really really recommend that strongly. I don't think it's an option. I think it's really a critical tool for us in survival, is to use the Word of God. And then what the Lord does is he brings each of us who are strengthened through His Word, He brings us into ministering a ministry of His Word to others. Mm. And one of the things that the Lord did for me approximately 10 years ago, on one of the worst days of my life, was He just brought a little prayer to my heart. That prayer was, Lord, lead me to some other people that I can bless. And, you know, when I think back on that now, you know, that prayer was a prayer of survival for me. It wasn't that I felt like blessing anybody. It's just that I was so deeply ensconced in my own turmoil that I wanted to be free of it. And somehow the Holy Spirit made it clear to me that the way, a way through that, not a way around it, but a way through that, was to bless others. So on that day, I met Bill Antonor, who has a ministry in Camden, New Jersey, to prisoners, ex-offenders, and homeless, street women, prostitutes. He and his wife ministered to women on the streets in Camden. I met him on that day over the telephone, and he invited me to come to Camden, begin ministering to homeless people, ex-offenders, and others at a breakfast that they have on every Saturday morning. And I try to go as often as I can. It's been an enormous blessing to me over the years, a way for me to get outside of what I was experiencing at that time, and then learning to minister the Word of God, and learning to minister His promises to people who are in virtually the same circumstances. I mean, these people are homeless, they're drug addicted. Most either have been in prison off and on for periods of years. They may be about to go back into prison. But when you drill down deeper with these people, virtually all of them has either some type of psychological disorder, whether it be a bipolar disorder, whether it be anxiety disorder, OCD, and that's really the area which I bonded with so many of these people, and try to introduce them as their medicine, introduce them to the Word of God, introduce them to God's promises in Scripture, give them little promise cards that they can take. And I'll see some of these people weeks or months later, sometimes even years later, and they'll have a little folded up, crumpled up scripture card, promise card that I gave them weeks or months earlier. And they're holding on to this. And I recommend it for anybody, and I know you're involved in prison ministry now, which is just an awesome thing. I recommend it for anybody in any circumstance in life, whether you're in a difficult season, painful season of your life for any reason, or if you're in a great season of your life, getting out there and meeting people in these situations, it might be something that you're anxious about when you first think about it, and maybe can't picture exactly how you could fit in. But I can tell you, and you know yourself, Brian, from what you're doing in the prisons, these people are very open to people, other people who can come in and encourage them, and they're very open, especially homeless people. None of them is under any illusion that they don't need help.
Right.
And these people are very, and one icebreaker that I learned very early on, very simple, easy icebreaker, is just asking them, is there anything you'd like to have prayer for? For yourself or for a family member or others? And even somebody who really doesn't want to speak to you initially, more often than not, is going to give you some prayer intention if you begin talking about their lives and giving you an opportunity to begin building a relationship with them. And seeing also, you know, you're not just somebody walking in there who's holier than thou, you know, who's there to tell them how to live their lives or tell them what they need to do to get right with God and so forth. You're going to wind up helping them in those areas, but it's in a non-threatening way, and it's going to happen. You're going to be let the Holy Spirit lead you in these situations, and it's going to happen as the Spirit leads, timed perfectly, where these people are opening up and becoming open to God's Word and the promised Scriptures and so forth, as they see that, you know, this, you are somebody who really is a friend. You're somebody that they can relate to and receive and accept into their lives as a friend. So one of the greatest ways, I would say that, you know, and I've gotten involved in various ministries and what I call sort of boots on the ground type ministering one-on-one to people. I didn't do it initially for anybody else. I really did it for myself. I really did it to try and got introduced to it and became engaged in it to try to get away from being so wrapped up in what I was experiencing in difficult seasons of my life. So, you know, it wasn't some altruistic thing where I just wanted to help other people so much in my life, as it was to try to find a new reality that would be distant and separate from what I was experiencing, the painful circumstances I was experiencing. But it led to a new season in life, and so many blessings. The people that serve in the ministries that I've been exposed to get, and I know you know this, Brian, from what you're doing, you're getting so much more and so many more graces and blessings out of what you're doing than the folks are that you're ministering to, and they're getting blessings also. But you come out of there with a whole new spirit and a renewing of your spirit, renewing of your mind. And you're a humble guy. I know you don't want to talk that much about the things that you do, but you've been involved in so many things over the years that have added so much to the lives of others. And I'm thrilled with this prison ministry you're involved in. And I know that so many of the people that you're meeting are just receiving tremendous graces from coming to know Lord through Brian Gale.
Larry, I can't help but listen and wonder, do you think you would be as successful, that the Lord would have blessed you as abundantly in your business, in your family life, and in your apostolic life, if you didn't have this terribly heavy cross, and if you didn't wrestle it to the ground, only to find that when you got up, you fell again and again? Do you think that it's just the two are connected in some way?
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you that I would probably be doing little or no ministry type activity if it wasn't for what I've been through with the anxiety and depression. That really kind of pushed me out of the nest and moved me into some new circles that I wouldn't have otherwise have been in. For years I was what I would call, you know, sort of a consumer Christian, where, you know, I was looking for as many whatever blessings and graces that I could get, kind of looking for others to minister to me. You know, I wanted hear a good homily in mass, you know, was involved in prayer groups and things, which are great, you know, but kind of looking for sort of experiences, you know, sort
right.
of manifestations and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't want to have your faith life just be solely focused ministering to anybody they come in contact with day in and day out, even if it's an affluent person.
Hmm.
They'll just minister to them. So, you know, we all have our different giftings, and God's leading us in different directions. There's people that God's leading to go overseas. I have a cousin who's, she's in her 20s. She started a foundation in Rwanda to help women in just abject poverty start their own little businesses. And
incredible.
Goods that that they then sell and set up a website for this. It's a tremendous little foundation she's established. You know, she's traveling thousands of miles overseas to Rwanda. She's also down in South America to establish this foundation. And other people go to Asia and other places around the world, and there's a huge mission field, certainly all over the world. But we have a huge mission field right here.
Yes, yes.
We don't really have to go very far. If we don't want to. I mean, it's up to us to, you know, to respond to where God's leading us. But, you know, we could just go to St. John's Hospice in North Philadelphia and assist in the lunch every day that they have, the 12th and Chancellor, Philadelphia, every weekday. And I think they even have a dinner now that's going on there. You know, we can go to homeless shelters in Camden, New Jersey. We can go to prisons, county jails, state prisons, federal prisons, to minister to people. We can go visit the elderly in nursing homes.
Hmm.
You know, there's nursing homes all over the Philadelphia area where people are lonesome. People in their 80s and 90s are living out the last days of their lives lonesome and hungry for companionship. And you go in, you talk to the activities director and tell them you want to volunteer just to visit people. And, you know, they might check you out a little bit to make sure you are who you say you are, but they give you a visitor badge, a volunteer badge, and you can just walk into people's rooms, which, by the way, they're so used to. You know, at first that seems intimidating. Well, gee, can I walk into somebody's room? Well, people are walking into their rooms all day long. Staff members, nurses, aides, nurses, physicians, and other volunteers. And most of them won't sit down and have a conversation with the older person. That person is hungry for someone that'll sit with them, spend some time with them, visit with them. That's something that any of us can do. And you find opportunities to share God's word and opportunities to share your faith with them. So there's so many ways. I'm sure that I'm only mentioning a small number of ways.
But, you know, Larry, what's really instructive is this is the year of mercy. There's maybe, 60, 70 days left. And when he launched the year of mercy, the Jubilee year of mercy, Pope Francis said, we must be bearers of hope. We must go out onto the battlefield. We must engage our wounded brother and sister, always first by listening. And then, if necessary, we must pick them up and carry them to the MASH unit, in effect, that is Holy Mother Church, where only the divine physician awaits, and he's the one that can heal them of all their wounds. And it was a wonderful way, I thought, to launch this Jubilee Year of Mercy. I think it's just a wonderful blessing to have you this past hour talking about the ways in which you do minister, despite the heavy cross that you carry. It's very instructive for all of us, Larry. I really mean that. For a guy that has suffered as you have suffered, who continues to do so, to be able to pick up the cross and not only get through life, but to give back on such a scale is just absolutely astonishing. Those prayer cards, I'm going to ask those of you who would be interested in Larry's prayer cards that would provide some solace in dark, dark, heavy moments, I'm going to ask you to call the station in his sign, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, and we're going to find a way to get them to you. Larry, I just want to thank you. for sharing what you have shared. I promise the men and women who are listening up front that it would be a lesson in humility and courage. It has been, certainly for me. I want to ask you if you would please come back at a time in the future. There's just so darn much left to talk about, things I would love to get to. And would you come back?
I'd be glad to.
Good.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I'm going to ask all of you who are listening to please pray for my sister-in-law, Kathy Donegan. She is battling cancer, late stage. It's been a terrible siege. She lies in a hospital as we speak. Let's all remember, if you could, to remember Kathy Donegan in your prayers. And I would say thank you again for tuning in to Our Recourse. We're grateful to the Law Office of Christian Petrucci and to Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign for bringing this show into your homes and cars. Please remember the network in your prayers and your charitable contributions so we can continue to offer authentic Catholic programming 2 hours every day, 5 days a week. I want to thank you all for listening and thank again our dear friend and wonderful guest, Larry Meigs. Larry?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks so much. Thank you.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was just absolutely wonderful.